Phone lines are open at 221-1402. On News Talk 1400, KQMS.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here are 221-1402, and I'm Carl Bott, and welcome to Monday, the 1st of December. So what'd you do with your day off? We get like one day off a week. I'm sure everybody else does, too. And I'm joined today by my ever-ready, ever-present producer, Kelly Frost, Jr.
Good morning, Carl.
What'd you do on your day off?
I didn't have a day off.
Did you work yesterday?
No.
Well, that's always that's called off. A day off.
You know, that's always my day off, though.
But that
okay, I watched the Raiders.
Okay. Did they win?
No.
Well, another big surprise. Mm-hmm. And, of course, my beautiful wife, Linda.
Good morning. December 1st.
December 1st.
You know that around the world, December 1st represents World AIDS Day.
That's right.
And President and Laura Bush were on the White House lawn this morning with the big red ribbon in front of the White House declaring the fact that I think, and I've heard several people say that if there's one thing in his presidential legacy is that he's done a lot to contribute to AIDS awareness and foreign aid regarding AIDS.
You know, and that's true. And my feeling about foreign aid is this. As soon as you fix everything that's wrong here with the United States, then you start giving money to people in other countries. Okay, I mean, I realize that may be a little bit cold, but that's just the way I feel. We've got veterans have to drive 12 hours to get down for a CAT scan because we don't have a CAT scan machine up here that the veterans can use here in Reading. So tell me why $12 million goes into a country to help them fight AIDS when we should be fighting the battle right here at the house.
This is true, but this is what we do on all levels.
Well, you know, and it's true, and you know something else too. This is the kind of country we are. We give, and that's part of the Thanksgiving and the greatness of this country is we reach out and we help people. We do, but again, this is just my opinion. Is why are we giving money to other countries when we could use it here at home for our veterans?
Can I make a quick comment?
Yeah.
That I think that if we had more of a giving spirit and we looked at ourselves within to give more of a giving spirit, then we wouldn't go to Walmart and trample on the poor souls to get the best deal in town.
Well, you're right on that one. You know, but that was something we talked about Saturday. We can bring that up again. But let's go talk to Joan first. Joan, good morning.
Well, good morning. I was just listening to our president-elect, Mr. Obama, and he mentioned several times and used the word pragmatism. I don't think that that's why people elected him, to carry out pragmatism. I thought perhaps you might start with a definition, and then maybe it might be a good discussion, because a lot of people wanted him to deal with a lot of present issues without a lot of pragmatism.
Well, you think that they voted, you think that everybody voted for him because he said he was going to bring change to
That's
the
right.
United States.
And change does not really include a lot of pragmatism as far as I can determine, but maybe I'm out to lunch.
Well, it just says is that pragmatists are really, they look at both sides of the question and they come to some kind of consensus.
Well, yeah, usually the one that's the most expedient, but it doesn't necessarily mean the one that's going to satisfy the populace that voted for him.
Right. What he's looking at, he says, is a practical approach to handling problems and affairs. But you're absolutely right, Joan. One of the things, the main thing he was running on, his main platform, when he was going to change.
Right.
Now, if you look at the people he's appointing, mm-hmm. Hillary Clinton, Holden,
not a great deal of change.
Gates,
there.
Right? He's looking at trying to solve these problems. I tell you what,
it sounds like a deja vu all over again to me.
Well,
anyway, have a great day, and I'll be listening on the air.
Thank you very much, Joan.
Bye bye.
Bye. Let's get to that one as soon as we are finished our break. But this is Carl and Linda Bott here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here 221-1402. We're going to talk about the Obama selections, but we're also going to talk about Joshua Munns and this newspaper article that was in the Searchlight on Sunday about Joshua Munns and the term mercenary. So join us on the other side. Hey, welcome back to News Talk 1400 KQMS. This is Carl Bott. Phone lines here, 221-1402. Joan called up and asked about pragmatism. You know, I said we're going to give President-elect Obama a chance. Okay, what he's doing, he says pragmatism means he's going to look at every situation. He's going to look at every method to solve the problems. Now, he brought on, or he's letting Robert Gates remain as his Secretary of Defense. Now, there's a lot of left-wing, really far left, and maybe not even far left, but a lot of liberals that were against this war that are right now questioning that. Why is he letting Gates stay in there? Gates is Gates likes waterboarding. You know, Gates has been accused back when he was in the CIA of pushing intelligence in a direction he wanted it to, you know, to go. So why is he remain? Why is he letting Gates remain in there? It's because Gates has the confidence of the military, and Gates was also one of the prime people there to help institute that surge that has been such a success in Iraq. Even though President-elect Obama, it's really hard for him to admit that. In fact, I still don't think he has, but it has been a huge success there. So what happens? He has Gates stay in there.
Well, what do you think of the choice?
I think Gates is a good choice because it's too important to bring in a whole brand new team completely without experience in today's age. Look what happened in India. If you don't think that was a direct poke in the eye at Obama, you're crazy. They went in there. This was India's 9/11. Now, people may not realize this, but India being a democracy, it is the largest democracy in the world because of their population. And they're right along a border with the Pakistan, whom they don't like, and both sides have nuclear weapons. Excuse me, this is not a good time to bring in a whole bunch of new people. Gates understands the situation in the Middle East. He understands what's going on in Afghanistan. You've got Jim Jones, who he brought on as National Security Advisor. Jim Jones is a retired four-star Marine general. And what a lot of people don't understand about Jones, you know, you think Marines. Jones was adamant in how he thought that the Iraq war should be fought. He did not agree with it. He's also a very revolutionary thinker. You know, the Department of Defense is probably glad he didn't get in there because you talk about some of the changes he would have made. But, you know, why do we need the airborne? Why do we need so many light infantry? We need all these other things, you know. So, which is one of those things that Jones said years ago.
Did you have a chance to work alongside him? Or
no. He was in different regions of the world than I usually was. Even though that you know who everybody is. Marine Corps is a small entity. But okay, let's go on. Let's move on to something else. But if you've got any, you know, our phone lines here are 221-1402. He's made a lot of cabinet appointments here, some that I'm not sure are going to be the greatest in the world because you're bringing back the Clintons. It's like a third term. You look at Holden. You discuss is Hillary Clinton the best choice for Secretary of State? You know, that's going to remain to be seen. However, what she does is she knows how Congress works. She knows she has been those other places. And the biggest thing for that is Bill. Can they control Bill? You know, it seems like they can. He's going to give up all of his information. He's giving him money. He's all these things, you know, since he's been out. That ought to be interesting to see who that is, just to see who has given him so much money for his foundation. You know, the millions of dollars that have flowed in there. I can't wait to see that. Anyway, let's talk about the newspaper article on Sunday when they talk about, you know, the headlines of the Reading Searchlight. Yeah, you know, you got to love the Reading Searchlight. Book, Munns sought cash. Well, Munns was doing a job. And then we go into the term mercenary. And, you know, I don't usually read the blogs. You know, sometimes I do when, it, you know, if things are a little slow around the house, and you know, I'll go in and I read it. I'll read the blogs because it's so interesting to read some of these, you know, blogs. You know, there's one person that wrote, and I'm not going to mention his name, but I picture him as a 40-year-old, real obese person that drinks lots of Red Bull and lives with his parents. He's down in the basement. He's got a computer, and he gets loose.
And you always get fired up over these blogs.
Well, no, not all the time, because some of them, you know, I look at it as these are people with no power at all. They have no ways to express themselves, and people ignore them. You know, they don't go out on dates. They don't have any of those things. So this is the way they get attention. So they blog, and they say these really outrageous things. Well, you know, one of them called Joshua Munns immoral for doing this job.
You know, immoral?
Immoral, because it was an immoral war, and he's doing immoral things because he's a mercenary. Just what exactly is a mercenary? What do you think, North State? Do you really know what a mercenary is by the definition of the United Nations? And under the Geneva Convention, do you know what a mercenary is? Well, I'm going to tell you when we get back from this next break. This is Carl Bodert here on Newstalk 1400 KQMS. Join us on the other side. Hey, welcome back to Newstalk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here, 221-1402. Okay, what's a mercenary? If you look at the Geneva Convention, a mercenary is a person who takes part in an armed conflict, who is not a national or a party to the conflict, and is motivated to take part in the hostilities essentially by the desire for private gain. So, was Josh Munn's a mercenary? He was there. You know, it said in the article, it said, yeah, he was there for the paycheck, $7,000 to $8,000 a month, which he wanted to do to fix his home up for he and his fiance. Now, if you look at that as the Geneva Convention, it says you have to be somebody that's not a member of the or a party of the hostilities. Well, you know what? The United States and the coalition forces were a party in the conflict. They were running the country. They were the government. So the people that were hired as contractors to assist in the security of the roadways, the security of the bases, the security of the hospitals, security of the VIPs, the State Department people, and to get the things running again, were not mercenaries. They were hired to do a job. In our discussion, and again, it's too bad y'all can't see the commercial breaks here, and perhaps when we get the camera up and running, you will, of us running around here yelling at each other. But if you want to look at that as somebody that's just taken money during the Iraq War to do a job, then you've got to also take a look at the Filipinos and the Pakistanis who were there cooking food. They were there on a contract to provide services in a combat situation. Now, that's what a mercenary, you know, so that's what our contractors were doing. Were they mercenaries? No. The mercenary goes in. He's not any part of the conflict or any party of the conflict. He's brought in to a third country to fight on one side or the other, may sometimes overthrow the government, sometimes to prop up the government. Is he a horrible person? Well, that depends on the contractor himself or the guy fighting. Now, Josh Munns was in a company that, as we look at it, it seems like a company that I wouldn't have joined because you don't know the people in it. You know, a lot of the people know that when I was in Iraq the first time, I was working under a contract. I knew the people I was working for. I knew who the company was. I knew exactly what we were supposed to be doing, and I knew the people I worked with. So I felt confident in that, in what we were doing. And we were providing protection for media people. Now, does that make us mercenaries? We didn't go out and shoot people up. We performed a job.
Could you define what some would call soldier of fortune?
Well, the soldier's of fortune, you know, I mean, you can use those terms, but to me, a soldier of fortune is somewhat like a mercenary. That he does go, he or she does go, and they fight for another country when they have nothing there of interest except money. Now, I'm simplifying this a lot because some people fight for reasons like if you looked at back prior to World War II in Spain, when they had the Spanish Civil War there, you had many, many Americans going there to fight on the sides against the government, against the group that's being backed by the Germans that fought against them. And you could say they were mercenaries, but many went there to fight for ideological reasons. I mean, many of them weren't paid, but they went there. They still fought for the other side in this country, you know, during the Spanish Civil War. You know, and of course, that side was the more, you know, they were communist in that case. A lot of the men that fought in that were not communists. They went to fight against the people, though, that were in power. So to say that they're strictly for money is not always true. However, there are people out there that do. Other thing that we talked about is, you know, Josh Munns used the term adrenaline. Well, you know, some people do that. Some people will go from one job to another that does their adrenaline, gives them the adrenaline rush. And I'm not saying Joshua did that. I just know is that Joshua had taken a job that was an honorable one, And to call him a mercenary, or to even use like this book, Mercenaries, the guy that wrote this, he knows what the term mercenary is. If you use the loosest term of saying somebody that goes someplace and takes money, takes the highest bid to work there, you could say, okay, mercenary. Because mercenary has so many meanings. You know, the fact is how about a baseball player that jumps to another team for more money? Does that make him a mercenary? Well, yeah, it does. I mean, if in one sense of the word. So, I don't know. I just happen to see these things, and I think of the person that writes it, and the guy that writes it wrote the book. I mean, he hung around with the contractors, with the security agencies, and you know he was getting off on it, but he was never carrying a gun. He was being protected by those that had guns. So, anyway, I think that his terminology was wrong, and the fact is that Joshua Munns was doing a job. You know, albeit he was, maybe the company he worked for was not the best one, but those things happen. You know, those are times that you really have to know what you're doing when you pick out, when you select a company like that.
Well, this is where if you've got something in your craw, you better call us. Let us know about it. 221-1402.
It just bothers me when I see people that, you know, that write about it in these little blogs. They have no concept, never been in the service, they have no concept of what it is. It's so easy to say immoral. And to say, you know, the contractors have checks and balances on them. But you only read one side of it. And the fact is that there's so many contractors in Iraq and Afghanistan right now, to pull them out would mean we couldn't continue what was going on in either country because we don't have the numbers of military to do all these jobs. That was the purpose behind it. Hey, this is Carl Lindebaugh here, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here, 221-1402. Call us on the other side. Hey, this is Carl Bob. Welcome back to News Talk 1400 KQMS. Okay.
Black Friday.
We were there.
You know, I understand why they call it Black Friday, because it's the one day of the year that can save anybody who's been in trouble that's a merchant.
That's right. Puts everybody back in the black that weekend.
I know, but after what happened and what's been on the news recently, isn't the first time something like this has happened? It's happened in stadiums across the country. It's happened in at rock concerts, soccer stadiums, of course. But to have it happen outside of a Walmart, where they started at 9 p.m. camping out for the 5 a.m.
opening.
Beginning of the sale.
What kind of sale were they having? You know, it was like what? You know, kidneys? You can get a kidney here for $150.
2,000 people that just crashed open the doors. They said that they were banging on the doors, that they were bending the glass because of the pressure of the crowd. And here is this poor young boy who is just happens to say, I'm going to make some extra money over Christmas, and gets trampled.
He tries to open the door. And then it comes down on him, and they stomp all over him. And then what happens? They're trying to provide CPR, and they're trying to save this guy's life, and they're trying to get the shoppers out of the store. And then what happens?
Shoppers are just whistling down the aisle. Here's the thing, is how are you going to be able, from a security camera, to detect, I guess, you know, zoom in and see who are the people? There had to be a group of maybe five or six that were responsible for stepping over this guy. He fell.
Well, instigating what was going on. And, I don't think they ever will. You know, the thing that gets me, though, is after they were trying to clear it to help this guy, people were fighting the police, didn't want to leave. You know, there's something wrong when people turn into animals like this. I mean, have we gotten to the point that you kill people to get a dress marked down from $10.99 to $4.99? Or a iPod? Oh, iPod's on sale today. You know, what is this? You know, I for one, don't understand it. You know, we talk about, you know, the military, we talk about wars, we talk about this, you know, in wars we have the uniform code of military justice, we have rules of engagement, and then you come home and you get trampled by a crowd at Walmart. Come on.
It's that adrenaline mob rush. You know, when you have 2,000 people in a parking lot, should not there have been how many policemen?
Well, they say the police were there until right before the store opened, and then the police left, and that's when it happened. Tom, good morning.
Yeah, it's something else. My wife and daughter went over about 6 o'clock to one of these places where there was going to be a sale on laptops.
I hope they were armed.
And, well, they still had arms, yeah, when they got back. And I'll tell you, you know, they have about 5 or 6 of those for just a sort of a leader to get you in the store. And they were, like, gone in 2 minutes.
Yep.
Yep.
And I only one time have had to get in that experience. One time we were in Sacramento, and they had one of these Walmart sales like this. And I went in at 6:30 in the morning. I had to park like 2 blocks away because I wanted to get this trampoline. And what I had to go through to get that trampoline for $50 less than it normally was, like it was been $150, it was only like $97. I'd never do it again. I mean, talk about trying to get between the hog and the trough.
Well, you know, that's why so many people are starting to shop online. I noticed that. And, I mean, you know, it's getting to be bigger and bigger and bigger where people are shopping online. They're getting the stuff delivered to their house. They're getting sales. They're getting the whole thing. And instead of having to fight it out at the stores.
Well, I tell you, if you want to know what a cowboy felt like when he fell off of his horse in the middle of a stampede, just go to one of these day after Thanksgiving sales at one of these stores. But say, what I wanted to say something about more was Barack Obama's been just a little at a time giving out his cabinet picks.
Right.
And I guess some of the complaints by some people is he's just bringing in some old, he's talking about change, but that he's bringing in some, you know, familiar faces.
It's the third. A lot of people are saying it's, you know, people that really like the Clintons should be really happy because it's their third term.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't have picked Hillary Clinton. I thought, if you know, obviously we're not going to get a bunch of conservatives in his administration.
No.
But I thought he could have picked Colin Powell, who I think served very, very well as Joint Chiefs of Staff and as Secretary of State and as National Security Advisor. He has experience. But I guess the connection with the Bush administration and the war precluded him from doing that. But he is keeping Robert Gates, Secretary of Defense.
Yeah.
And I tell you, I don't want to say optimistic, but I'm cautiously looking at his picks and saying, well, maybe this isn't going to be quite as bad as I thought. Because he is seeming to bring in people with some experience, not just novices that really are rigid ideologues. So his economic team, while it wouldn't be the ones I'd pick, and obviously as a conservative, I can't expect him as a liberal to pick people that I like, but it does seem like he understands that the markets, our whole financial system is so spooked right now that if he picks really way out ideologues on the left with socialistic ideas, that there's going to be a panic that's going to make a depression inevitable. So it seems like he's moving very cautiously. And
well, you know what I hope,
reassure the markets, and it seemed like it worked last week. It went up 5 days in a row. Now today it's down 400
yeah.
points. So I don't know what news
well,
has come.
Well, here's
out
what I hope
morning.
Obama's like. This is what I hope Obama's like. I hope he stays in there. I hope he doesn't make any changes until the until he sees what's going on. You know, he kind of goes in there and makes changes slowly. And it gets, you know, so everybody, you know, will can kind of like, okay, take a deep breath. Okay, let's go to the next step instead of going in there. So I think this is what he's trying to do. Now, being a pragmatist, I have no problem with what he's doing, you know, as far as his choice. However, it will irritate the left.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I think one of the ways to gauge of whether he's doing anything right is how bad the left gets angry.
Well, I think that's good, too. You know,
you know what? Another thing gets me. I I like to listen to Rush Limbaugh, but he's getting kind of carpy lately. He sits there and complains that Barack Obama's not being specific enough. And that he's just letting a little bit out of the time, and that we need to know exactly what he's going to do.
Hey.
But then if he told him exactly what he was going to do, then he complained about that. It's like nothing satisfies Rush Limbaugh,
right.
and he's getting to be more of a carper.
Hey, Tom, I've got to take
and
a break
anyway,
here.
I still, you know, I'm with Rush's philosophy, but it's like that's what sells his program.
Take a breath, Tom. Take a breath. Tom, take a deep breath. It's my turn.
See you later. Bye.
Okay. Tom's on a roll here. Anyway, but you know what? Unlike the Rush Limbaugh, you have Carl and Linda Bott here. We hear all sides. We don't carp. We just get it on. Hey, okay, look, we're going to take a quick break here because we want to talk about some more stuff on shopping, on the economy, on what's happening around our town. Okay, this is Carl Bott here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here, 221-1402. Join us. Hey, welcome back to News Talk 1400 KQMS. This is Carl and Linda Bott here. Our phone line's here, 221-1402, and we'd like to say a special thanks to Daniel, because Daniel came in and brought us all coffee. He brought Kelly, he brought Linda, and he brought me some coffee. And, of course, I got the like the heavy, heavy, dark coffee, and Linda and Kelly got the foo-foo coffee. Ah, Kelly.
Thank you, Daniel.
Daniel, thank you so much. You know, it was really nice. You know, you come on down from the Thanksgiving weekend, and then somebody like Daniel walks in. No other reason, just to say hello and brings us coffee. What a great guy. Daniel, thanks so much. Roger, good morning.
Hello there.
Hey, Roger.
Morning.
How you doing this morning?
Hey, we're doing great, Roger. How about you?
Pretty good. My wife and I just moved to inside the Redding city limits a month ago.
Uh-huh.
And we lived off of Knighton Road, so we had unlimited. The certain amount of time of burn days.
Right.
Between I think it was like November to April.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm moving to the city of Redding. There's only 2 months. There's only November and April.
Okay.
Now, you take in consideration all the non-burn days, and now we're down to maybe 30 days if we're lucky. I'm just wondering if you know of anybody in the city of Redding that can help me out with this to maybe get some permits or something, more burn days. I've already paid my $8, but, I still got more to burn.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I think the city council's got a lot to do with this. And, but you know what? We'll find out for sure. We'll do some research, and we're going to come back on the show today before we get off, Roger, and say where we think you should go to.
Okay.
Okay. Cause all I think it's going to be, part of it's the Air Quality Board, part of it's CAL FIRE, but I think they should, there's something that should be able to say is that I've got 30 days. Can I get a waiver? Can I get another 3 days or something like this to finish off?
That's basically all I needed. I only needed maybe one more day.
Yeah.
To finish up what I needed and whatnot, and that would have been it, But like I said, it just seems like it's way less than what it should be.
You don't live around Gold Street, do you?
No, it's up on near West.
No, you don't have. Yeah, you don't have to say it because if somebody was burning the other day. There was choking us out, so I was just checking on it. Okay, Roger. I tell you what, we're going to try and check on this. I'm going to have Kelly. He's going to start getting on the phone, and we're going to try and come up with something before the show's over.
Okay, appreciate it, man.
You bet.
Have a good one.
You bet.
So what do you think?
That's what we're here for.
We love that. Hey, and if we have a listener that also has information for...
Okay, this is, like we've said 1,000 times, is not our show. It's the North State show. It's our show. It's the people show that listen all the way down to Corning, all the way up to Mount Shasta. So somebody called in and left a message. That's right. Left a message, and because it's everybody. He wanted everybody to know that President-elect Obama is not the Messiah. He is really hiding underneath a sheepskin, and that he is just the opposite. So he could have called and said that, but instead he just left a message. Now, you can also leave messages on our website, freefireradio.com. Just come in there. You can blog on it. You can leave, you just have to do a sign up, and it's for free. Just sign in there, and you can leave thoughts or just contact us through freefireradio.com. Tell us what you want to talk about. That brings a lot of the things that we talk about on here. And speaking of that, and going back kind of to
Black Friday
is
toys.
Something that was also we happened to see parents.
Yeah, parents to toy firms, they're asking to stop ads for children. And what is ridiculous? I'm sorry, can I have an opinion on this? Ridiculous to me about this. It's the same thing about McDonald's. You're going to be fat if you go to McDonald's. It's like, well, then don't go to McDonald's.
Well, that's
it's
it.
Like, you know, don't put your kids in front of the TV set for 5 hours, 6 hours. They're going to see toy ads.
My child's obese. Well, how many times a week does it go to McDonald's or Burger King? Oh, 18 times.
I grew up watching TV during a period of time, and I'll age myself. Excuse me. Gilligan's Island, some great stuff. And Barbie doll ads and Bam Bam. I mean, I had those toys, but it wasn't like I was obsessed that I had to have every single Barbie because you know why? My parents both worked hard and they told me, you get a choice of one thing.
You get a choice. Yeah, okay. But see, the part that really gets to me on this is why are parents writing to the toy firms? I mean, why don't you have control of your children? Kelly?
What about subliminal advertising?
Oh, see now.
Is that the kind that they used to have in the drive-in movie theaters where they flash popcorn?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's supposed to be illegal, though.
Well, yeah, but they found ways around it, I would think.
Like what?
You know, just slip things in there just real quickly, you know, and you don't even really recognize it, but your brain
does. But that's subliminal advertising, mm-hmm. and that's illegal because that does work. People have said that works. You know, I guess that it could be people are doing that, but it's still a bottom line is if you don't want your kid to watch TV, then don't let them. Or if you don't want them to have a toy, why don't you just tell them? I don't understand the problem here. Why do we have to go after, you know, that leads me into smoking. You know, people go, oh, smoking's terrible. You know, it should be illegal. Why? I mean, an adult wants to smoke a cigarette, put it into their body. That's up to them. Now, on the other hand, after they've been doing it for 30 years, and you've known for 30 years that it is harmful to your health at times, you know, that you sue the company. Yeah, I don't understand that concept either.
I don't know.
Anyway,
it's taking
you know what it is? It's taking responsibility in your life, and that is one of the things that I'm writing an article on right now is taking responsibility for your actions. If you don't take responsibility for your actions, who will? Now, we've got people lined up on the phone. We're going to come right back to them, but we got to take a quick break here at News Talk 1400 KQMS. This is Carl and Linda Bott. Hey, this is Carl Bott. Welcome back to News Talk 1400 KQMS. That coffee's got my eyes dilated. Hey, Roger.
Good news.
If you call at the fire department at 225-4141, explain your situation. They told us they would come out, the lady that called in to tell us how to do this said that they will come out, they'll take a look at your situation, they can issue you a one-day burning permit. So call your local fire station at 225-4141. Explain what's going on. And according to our listener, they will come out and help you with that. I hope that helps. So let us know if it does, Roger. You know, see if that works and let us know so we can tell everybody. Edith, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, we're peachy.
Great.
We only got a couple of minutes, Edith. What you got?
Hey, as far as it goes for that Walmart thing, they should have locked the doors, told everybody they weren't leaving. They wanted names, addresses, everybody in there, and they were going to be charged with blatant disregard for the human life.
Good idea. That
would work.
That's the way it should have been done. Because I can remember when I was younger, dating myself once again, is when Mervyn's used to have their open sale.
Yeah.
I got stuck in between people, and from the time I was outside to the time I got in that door, it was probably 20 feet I got carried on a wave. It was the last time I'd been. I'd been to concerts and never had it happen.
Well, you know, there's a lot of helpless feelings when you get into crowds like that. I mean, the huge crowds. But, you know, it wasn't the running of the bulls. You know, in Spain, it was just,
right.
It was Walmart. Come on. Even though
the poor guy was just trying to help make his family get a living.
You know, the thing about Walmart is, and I've got some facts and figures on Walmart we'll bring in this week, but how much, they make something like $32,000 a second. A second.
Well, all I know is that all those people should have been charged with blatant disregard of human life.
Well, it is.
You can charge that with a kid in a car. You can charge it with people on their feet.
Well, you know, it's the same thing as that lady. It was a long time ago. The kitty, I think her name is Kitty Genoese, that got stabbed 26 mm-hmm. times while people were watching, you know,
right.
And she was screaming for help. And this was, this had to be 30 years ago when this happened. It was terrible. It was up in New York. Again, New York. Wait a minute. Let's connect the dots.
What happened?
We'll talk. She was accosted by a guy in this neighborhood. By this murderer who stabs her a couple of times. She's screaming. He runs away, and then nothing happens. Nobody comes outside. People are looking down on this out their windows. He comes back. He stabs her a total of 26 times until she's dead. She's screaming, help me, help me. People are saying, leave her alone. The guy just ignored it. Nobody called the cops. Nobody went out there.
Yeah, but what happened to the people who watched? That's my question.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if any of them were even charged with anything. Because they could have just said, hey, it wasn't me.
Well, that's like watching a slaughter.
It is. That's all it is. Hey, Edith, thanks a lot.
That is a great idea. Thanks. I like it when people have just bottom line. What's the bottom line? Why can't we be more hardcore when it comes to bottom line? That's what it just is too. It's
it
too
goes back
fluffy.
It goes back to responsibility. People refuse to take responsibility today for some reason. It used to be that if you did something stupid and you got hurt, guess what? Mom and Dad would just say, "Well, I guess you just did something stupid. You rode down that hill with no hands, with your feet out, you know, on both sides, and you got, you know, and you crashed at the end of it, you broke your nose, you know, you knocked out your teeth. That was your problem. It wasn't the bike's problem.
Or your neighbor's.
Or your neighbor's problem that was watching you as you went down this hill. You know, that was your problem. You know, and what's going on with people that they get drunk, they do stupid things, and all of a sudden it's the car's fault. It's the people who, you know, it's the people around them. It's their fault.
We loved watching that John Wayne film, Jake, yesterday.
Big Jake.
It was like, you know what? That's kind of what we come from. And the bottom line is buck up.
That's it. You know, it's the thing is that take responsibility for your actions. You know, we've gone fall. You know what? People say to us, you know, how do you get things to talk about every day? And we're saying it's not finding things to talk about. It's we have so many things that happen every day. It's trying to figure out which ones to talk about. And that's where you all can help us, North State. Again, freefireradio.com. Send us emails. Tell us things you want to hear, things you want to talk about. Because we've got some more tomorrow. We've got people from Idaho that have got some ideas about survivalists. We want to talk about the police station or lack of police station. And as you know, Mr. MacArthur said maybe all the city council members should give up their retirements. I believe is what she said today. So that should be interesting. We're going to try and get Missy on the show here so she can tell everybody out there that voted for her exactly what she's going to do and the people that voted against her what she's going to do. So we're going to, I think she gets sworn in tomorrow. So let's try and get her on the show Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see if we can do
that. Give her
that.
A call.
Give her a call and we'll do that. Anyway, see. Oh, there's a couple other things too is that something special on 3160 Bocelli
Lane.
The
store special.
The store, something special at 3160 Bocelli Lane is having a huge sale. We want to talk about this because these are really great people. It's a going out of business sale, and it's off 30% off everything and more all through December. And they've got great gifts. They have, you know, statues of angels. They have statues of everything, of animals, of your pets. They have
swords.
They have paintings. They have everything there. So if you get down there and help out Rick and Denise, they're great people. The other thing is on December 5th is going to be this huge toy drive by the UBNC, United Bikers of Northern California. They're going to be taking things, and they're going to be collecting it at the Kmart parking lot on December 5th, 2008, from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. And these are kids, these are toys for kids, and it's going to go to the Salvation Army and then to the children. So North State, it's just, you know, it could be a small toy. Make sure it's new. You know, put it, you know, bring it to these kids that need it. And it, that, again, goes on December 5th in the Kmart parking lot from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m.
It's great to be back, and I just really enjoy being on the microphone here with you, Carl and Kelly.
Well, you know what, we like Reading, and we like the North State.
Yeah, here. We like being here.
We like here. So, hey, North State, we'll be back tomorrow at 8 o'clock. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?